we've changed things around, and the sermon I was going to preach today was we were going to continue in the series in Revelation. It was going to be the letter to the church in Smyrna, and you have an opportunity now to go to do some advanced reading. And in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, the letter to the church in Smyrna, we'll preach that message 2 weeks today. 2 weeks today, we're also going to have an opportunity to remember and reflect on our sister Juvan's life. I spoke to Mike yesterday, and he said that more than anything, Juvan would have wanted an opportunity for her family and friends to come to church and hear the Bible being preached. And so we're going to have a combined Sunday service along with a memorial at that time for Juvan. So that'll take place 2 weeks today. It was, let's take out our Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because today, right now, we're going to be focusing on the communion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 1, Paul writes, he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." You know, Paul says, the gospel is what I preached to you, and it's of first importance. The gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and then he was resurrected. He died for our sins, and that means that we can have hope. The fact that he was buried and then was resurrected shows that he has conquered death, and that gives us hope. You know, he goes on to say later on in the chapter, in verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." You know, he says, if the resurrection didn't take place, then Jesus dying for our sins, that was meaningless too, and so that we're all still in our sins, and so we have no hope. But the fact is, Christ was raised from the dead. And that's the reason why it was so important, not only for him to appear to Peter, and then to Mary, and to the women there, but also to many, many, many witnesses. More than 500 brothers at the same time. So people could see and know this wasn't just the delusions of one or two or three or four individuals. In fact, then he goes on to appear to all the apostles, and then the apostles are to be witnesses of his resurrection. It gives us hope. And because it gives us hope, it means that we have more to look forward to than just what this life has to offer. You know, he goes on towards the end of chapter 15. He says in verse 50, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He says, because of Jesus' death and His resurrection, we know that death has been conquered, and so we can have hope, and we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, it's incredible to be able to focus on this and to recognize we have encouragement. But even though we have so many scriptures which tell us this, and we believe it with all our heart, still, we feel pain when death actually comes. And you know, we see this in John chapter 11, when Jesus' friend Lazarus died, and he comes along a few days later, deliberately. But the first thing Martha, Lazarus' sister, says is, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to Martha, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Even though people will die, they will still live. And he asked her, do you believe this? She says, yes, I do believe this. On the last day, we'll all be raised again. But Jesus had more than that in mind. And He carried on towards the tomb, and Mary shows up, and she says exactly the same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And He looked around, and He saw all the people, and they were weeping, and then Jesus Himself wept. And you know, a week ago on Friday, we did that video for Jovan. We shared the scriptures from 1 Corinthians, where it says that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. And we wanted to encourage our sister. And so we had an opportunity on a Friday evening, just for, after a short lesson, for people to come up and to be able to share. And we're able to record that and pass that DVD on to Mike and to his family. And Jovan got an opportunity to watch the DVD and to just to hear everything that was shared about her, and just to be encouraged. And I believe Mike and the girls and Jovan all watched it together. And that's encouraging to know that she was able to hear, even though she couldn't be with us physically, just to be able to hear that our hearts were with her and how much we appreciated the impact she's had on our lives. When I heard the news yesterday, Jovan died yesterday in the early hours of the morning. And I think Scott was the first person to send me a text at, I think it was like 3:30 in the morning, just let me know that Jovan had passed away. And then Geetha rang me early that morning as well. And, you know, when I got the news, even though Jovan is one of the most joyful sisters in our congregation, and even amidst all the pain and all the suffering of over the last few months, that her joy didn't dwindle in any way. And every time I went to see her, either in the hospice or the hospital, every single time, she was always trying to encourage me to reach out to meet the friends that she'd been reaching out to and sharing her faith with on the ward and everywhere. And there was just a real joy. And even this last time, we were able to just read the Bible together and to pray together. And when I got the news that she'd passed away yesterday, I couldn't help, I just started to cry. I just, even though I remember from 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible, I'm going to read it because I can't, I can't focus enough to quote it for you. But in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you, that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Paul says, we don't grieve like the rest of the world, because we have hope. Because we know that Jesus died and he was raised again, and he's conquered death, and so we know that we will join our brothers and sisters, and we will be united together and share in God's welcome home. And so even though I know all this, and we all know this, and we believe it, but nonetheless, I couldn't believe it. And I turned to my wife and I said, I just couldn't believe how emotional I feel. I immediately drove over to go and see Mike yesterday, and we spent some time together. And it's just a weird thing, because there were tears and we prayed, but there was also laughter as well, as we were able to stop and reflect and look back. And Mike showed me, Javon's brother did a video of their wedding. And he showed me, he put this wedding video on, and it was just amazing. Number one, to see so many of you from 15 years ago looking so young. Seamus had lots of hair. Paul also had a lot of hair. And you could see Andy there, and then there was Mike, and then Mike had hair. Oh my word! So you could see Mike and Javon at the altar there, and I was there, and I had hair, but I don't know what kind of style it was in. But Mike's promised me a copy of this, and I'm going to show. I'll show a clip, hopefully in 2 weeks' time. But we were able to just watch some clips from the wedding, and we were able to laugh and reminisce, but also to share just our grief and even this morning as we were singing that song. That near the beginning, in Christ alone. I just thought of Javon. In fact, I wanted to read the words to you because to me this summed up Javon's convictions that in Christ alone she took her stand. It says, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There in Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, and here in the death of Christ I live. Because Jesus took our sins, we can live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. And no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand until he returns
or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. And you know, yesterday Jesus called her home. But it's because of his death on the cross that we can have hope, not just for this life, but for what comes after. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we can be confident that it's all true. That there is life after death, but more than that, there is a home waiting for us that Jesus has prepared. And because we can have our sins washed away by his death on the cross, that we can be confident and have no fear of death. As we take the bread and the wine and remember Jesus' sacrifice, let's remember what was achieved by his death on the cross. And let us be grateful that we can benefit from his sacrifice. Let's pray at this time. Father, we are truly grateful for your son's sacrifice and for his death. And Father, right now we do mourn the loss of our dear sister Giovanna, and we do particularly pray for comfort, not just for us, but Father, particularly for Mike and Sky and TMA. Father, just that you will allow them to feel your love through the brothers and sisters and their spiritual family here. But Father, help us to just be mindful of what Jesus' sacrifice accomplished. That Father, because he was able to pay the price for our sins, that we can have no fear of death. That in fact, that death has lost its sting. And that there is a victory that is in store for all of us who stay faithful. Father, thank you that Jovan died faithful in Christ. Thank you, Father, that we also have that opportunity, Father, just to stand firm, alone in Christ, and to know that we can one day be with you for all eternity. As we take the bread, which represents his broken body, and as we drink the wine, which represents his shed blood, help us, Father, to be grateful and appreciative for his sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.